It has been a pleasure to see the young people of the church being involved, some of them playing in the band, others just coming along and doing their parts. It was amazing to hear the story of Jordan again. It made me radiant like the first time. It was amazing. So when I was studying my first degree, I remember like I was supposed to know some stuff, and so especially with time and something like that. And so my theoretical physician came to a lecture and say, we are going to have a lecture of time. And she came with all this Einstein theory about relativity and all of that. And I went out of the lecture like, I don't have a clue. I say, today we are not going to be doing the same. We're going to be more like simple. Time is past, present, future. And I don't know how many of you, like if you are a young people, how many of you have here, like when people relay, like the young people are the future of the church. They are just like, it's so amazing to see them because they will be the future of the church. And I was thinking like, do I agree with that comment or I do not agree? As Johnny knows, normally I do not agree with most of the comments. And so I say, probably do not agree with that. I think the young people are not the future, are part of the present, and are part of the present with us. And when you think part of the present with us, when we think about a passage to communicate to our young people today, it came across Acts 2, 42 to 47, the fellowship of believers and the key areas in which, I am going to include me, even though I am 30, our young people could be part of this amazing church. In this passage, Luke, which is making a case for the church and the Christian to the Roman authority, is describing what the believers are doing. He is describing the key areas of the believers. And it is no surprise, and the young people have heard me say that over and over again. It doesn't surprise them. The first key area that he mentioned is they are devoted to the teaching of the apostles. They were devoted to the teaching. And some of the commentaries and people that were explaining, they were saying, like, look, they have the possibility of being or entertained or going away. They were seeing the signs and wonders. They were seeing miracles every day. But they returned because they wanted to know more. They wanted to be devoted to the teaching. They wanted to know Scripture. And I am going to read something that is a quote and is amazing. Say, John Stott, anti-intellectualism and the fullness of the Spirit are mutually incompatible because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Our young people, the people in the church, we need to be devoted to Scripture. We need to not only read those passages that we like, not only use the app, give you a verse for the day. The first Christian, the first believers, they were devoted every day. Devoted means you actually go beyond a simple desire. You actually want to go beyond and read, learn, and understand. One of my jobs was in a gym. I used to work in a gym trying to train people. And it came this skinny guy one week. It came this skinny guy and he said, okay, mate, I want to do exercise. I want to be like ready to go. And we say, oh, let me give you a tour for the gym. And so we give him a tour. And then he said, I need a plan. I am ready to go. Give me a plan. So we gave them a plan and he was ready to go. I say, perfect. By Saturday, I will be as big as you guys. And I say, oh, okay, what are you doing on Saturday, son? I say, no. On Saturday, we are going to the beach, and so I am going to take my teacher and impress everybody. And I say, I am really sorry. You need to reschedule your beach trip for next year. It's not going to happen for this Saturday. Some people, when they want to devote for something, they want an immediate effect. They are like this boy in the gym. I am going to read the Bible today, and tomorrow I will be impressing everybody. These people in the church, they knew that they got time. And if you follow up reading Acts, you will figure out they got a number of things wrong. But the key, and my message today in this point, is like, don't be like my friend trying to sort it out everything in one day. I know that we are growing up, and if you want something, you just download it. If you want to eat something, you just pop the microwave. You need to devote for scripture. And sadly, you need to take time with the Word of God. Second, they have, I normally don't want to use the Greek words because it's like, oh, okay, he's just using. But there is something that happened with the languages when you are trying to translate. And believe me, I am translating all the time. At the moment, I am translating. And so when you are trying to translate, some words are impossible to translate to another language because some words carry a meaning that is so big and deep. And when you put this word in the other language, in this word, it loses the meaning. They say that they devote themselves to the fellowship. The word is koinonia, and the term can be translated as association, communion, fellowship, cross relationship, giving in, giving out, and the list go on. As we come to the church, and there is a problem in our modern society, we are trying to belong to some place. We are trying to have something that is our identity, that is our goal. And as they were having this fellowship, there is a number of things that they had. They say that they share everything and had everything in common. People were giving things. So there was a group in the time. I love history, and so I normally give like a little bit of background. So there was a group at the time, and they were called the Essenes. So they practiced this communal property, and so if you were going to belong to this group, the boss of the group came and said, well, you are becoming, you need to give your property, you need to give this, and we are going to administer this for everybody. So as we read this passage, it seems like it's a little bit similar. People are giving the properties, people are giving everything. But there is a main difference. For the Essenes was out of duty. They have to give the properties. They have to give it to be part of the groups. For the Christians, it wasn't out of duty. It was out of love. And that is something key for the community. And that is something that we have tried to embrace during this year with the young people. We have tried to embrace the Christian love. We normally go to places, we try to be part, and our young people most of the time suffer for being abused outside, not having a place to go. We want that our church is a place when they have a community. They have the love of each other, and they have everything in common. To be honest, having this sense of community nowadays is really difficult. I remember we have the luxury that we are not persecuted, that we are not discriminated. When I was growing up and we were Christian, the church in Cuba was discriminated and we were persecuted. So we have this sense of community really clear because people were abusing us and we were persecuted and we were not allowed to go to that school. We were not allowed to have that type of job. And we were not allowed to go into those places. And so we were close and close and close with each other. And the church became our family. The church became the place that we went to play because we couldn't go to the places to play. The church became the place and you go and have your tea with your other Christian friends. It became something that when I was reading the passage, it made me cry a little bit because it made me remember my childhood, and it made me remember the love that we have for each other. Nowadays, in the West, we have a big benefit that we are not being abused. We have the benefits that we can practice our Christianity out free, but we have a little bit of the problem because we haven't been persecuted. We don't have that need of being with each other all the time. We don't have the need of the only place that I can go is the house of the Lord. For our young people, in a year that is all about you, 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 Jesus is telling you it's about us, us, us. In a time when you try to put your own desires in front because you want to be the guy who got the best marks in the A levels, you want to get into that university, or you want to get the best mark, or you want to be the best in your sport, or you want to be the best player in the trumpet, or whatever that is your passion. So sometimes we forget about us for the sake of me. In this place, God is saying, we need to think in us. We are all a family. And normally, we say it out loud that we are a family in Christ. And for our young people, we are praying that the church is going to be the family. Sometimes it's really easy to say it. It's difficult to practice it. It's difficult to practice with that young boy that arrived to youth club and you don't like. It's difficult to practice with that boy who came to coffee bar and has ate all the ring donuts that you love. And then you end up with the lemon donut that you don't like. It's good for me. I love lemon donuts, and so I love Ruth when she buy it. I get to eat it. But you get all details, and it's me. No, it's us. How we can make us? How we can make us in this digital world? How we can make us is, I was checking to make sure, I have like over 500 friends on Facebook, and I don't know, I was going to say I don't know half of them, but I don't know most of them. The thing is, like, you go to a coffee shop nowadays, somebody see you once, you let them know your name, and the same thing that you see, somebody wants to be your friends in Facebook, and it's the guy that you got a cappuccino with, because you were in the queue, you talk, you say your name, and I have never seen that guy again. But he knows all my kids, all everything that happened in my life. So in this digital world, we have a lot of friends. We have a lot of followers. Do we have fellowship? Do we have communion? Do you want to approach your friend, give him a hug, have a handshake? But it's really easy. Take your phone. Send a digital wave and we emoji or somebody smiling, and that is amazing. Are we getting lost touch with each other? Because I was thinking, sometimes my best friend is my phone. If you try to describe what is a friend, it's somebody that you spend time with, somebody that listens to you listen to him. Somebody that you ask questions, Google, is my best friend. So, do you have a Christian friend? Do you have somebody that you say, I am going to a rough path. I am going to the bad moment. I am going to see my friend. He's going to pray for me. We are going to have communion. How we do it nowadays. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. We are so busy with everything going on that it's a challenge to have this fellowship, to have this communion, to have this friendship. But the Bible says they share everything in common and they were rejoicing. In the third part, it says that they have daily fellowship. And they were daily worshiping God. And you will say, come on, I have to go to the temple every day. This is going to be crazy now. It's easy when you are working in the church because you have to be in the church all the time. But if you are not working, it's difficult. And to be completely honest, we need to put that in perspective of the people from the first century. And I would say those Mediterraneans, they have siesta. And so when it's really hot, like this week have been amazing. I feel like home. When it's really hot and people are working really hard, after lunch, it's impossible to be out. The sun is really strong. And so you have this called siesta. But in the biblical time, you have something called the hour of prayer. You go, that look like a little bit boring. No, both. That is actually amazing. There was an hour that everybody went to the temple and they spent the hour praying and rejoicing with each other. These new believers, they weren't taking away those rituals. They just were following, coming, having an hour of prayer. They were just rejoicing with each other and having meals. We all love a good cup of tea with some biscuits. You put some digestive, some muffin and stuff like that. They were going house by house, rejoicing with each other. They were not only giving the money in the offerings. It's really important to provide for the church, provide for the mission. They were not only taking the wallet out, put some money in, and that's it. They were, apart from the wallet, they were taking their life out and putting it out. They were sharing their life with each other. This looks similar to the previous point. And it's really important when you read something and you are reading something in the Bible and you see then the author is just repeating the theme. I have one sergeant. Oh, they are recording. Okay, let me just give the censor version. I have one sergeant. And the thing that he said to us every time that we were in mission or doing things was, repetition is the mother of all teaching. I hate that guy, but I remember that. Repetition is the mother of all teaching. When you see that something is repeated, it's because it's important. When you see that he is saying you need to love each other, you need to share, you need to just give your life, it's important. The communion with each other is important. The communion with God is essential. Some 4 points for this passage. The church were in submission to the apostles and the teaching. They were in love with each other. They were in worship to God. And they were in outreach to the world. I normally get like really missional when we are talking and the life of discipleship and when we are saying what we have to do. So we have to devote to the Bible. We have to have fellowship. We have to pray and we have to share because we want the Lord to be added to our numbers, those who are going to be saved. But also we want that everybody in the church is part of the family. You don't want to go to a place when the family is fighting. You don't want to do not belong. To be completely honest, most of the commentaries and people who talk about this passage, they say that it's a little bit of an utopy. It's like a church from other time. It's difficult to replicate nowadays. And when you are talking with the young people, they have more stuff to worry than being part of this church, than just devoting to the Bible. They need to learn algebra, history, arts. There is a lot of stuff and pressure saying, and so if you add and they have to have fellowship with each other, it's going to be difficult. I know it's an utopy. I know that it's difficult. And I know that it's a challenge. But the whole Bible, the whole scripture, the whole message is a challenge. It's an utopy. Can you explain me the logic of the creator of the universe coming down for me? I am a disaster. He came down for me. He gave me a new family. I lost my family back in Cuba. He gave me a new family. He gave you a new family. If you are the only believer in your house, he has given you a new family. He has given you the love of your brothers and sisters. It's easy to say it. It's difficult to live it. There is a professor, 10 Hildebrand, when he is just explaining and giving the classes, he does something when he is giving his own opinion, and he goes to a corner, and he gave his own opinion, and he's really passionate. I love that, and I will probably, you are going to understand what I make that remark. The verse of this passage is giving us an ecclesiology that is relational, theocentric, and practical. It's a picture of the church in the past that should be reflected. The young people, I'm going to the corner just in case somebody say, the young people are not the future. The church in Acts is not the past. We are the same church that will continue for years and years. And I know that some people say that I am living an utopy, and it's impossible to do it nowadays. It's a challenge. I love a challenge. And when I have was thinking and reflecting, give a word to the young people today. My word is, I want a church like that. I want a church when we devote, when we have communion, and we have a family who go out, preach, reach the poor, and came and embrace each other. That is what I want. It is what you want too. I hope so. God bless.